Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, welcome to Relationships 360 Degrees, and thanks for joining me for this Thursday for another exciting episode of the best relationship show on internet radio. Looks like we're having a little bit technical difficulties with the opening song, but that's okay. I am here, and for you first-time listeners, my name is Tiffany Williams-Jallo, creator and host of this program, which airs Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on Blog Talk Radio. As always, I brought in a guest expert to help you repair, build, and maintain enriching, positive, long-lasting relationships. Ju Bijou is a respected psychotherapist, professional educator, and workshop leader. Her theory of attitude reconstruction evolved over the course of more than 30 years, and she has worked with clients as a licensed marriage and family therapist, and is a subject, which is the subject of her award-winning book, Attitude Reconstruction, A Blueprint for Building a Better Life, which talks about the healing power of forgiveness, the topic of tonight's show. I'm going to bring her up in just a second. And while I'm doing that, you can certainly learn more about Jude and her work at Attitude Reconstruction. .com, as well as learn more about it during tonight's program. And I want to thank Jude for, you know, sitting tight during that introduction. I want to cut straight to the chase. Welcome to the show tonight, Jude. It's a pleasure to have you.
I'm just so pleased to be your guest. Thank you, Tiffany.
Thank you so much, and thank you for bearing with me through the technical difficulties. I pressed play on a song, you know, about tonight's theme, and it just isn't coming up. So that's a bummer. Maybe we'll try to incorporate it later here in the show. But like I said, I definitely want to, you know, cut straight to the chase, delve into tonight's topic. We've got a lot of ground to cover. So I wanted to, you know, pose this question to you. As a family therapist, you deal a lot with a lot of marriages and relationships that may be on the verge of collapse due to maybe the inability of one of the parties involved to forgive the other party for their indiscretions or mistakes. If you can tell us about the importance of forgiveness and why revenge doesn't work.
Absolutely. Well, the problem with when we don't forgive is that our heart shuts off. We're really operating out of anger and fear and sadness, and we're missing the sweetness of life, the connection, the heart. And so that's why, like, if we go for revenge, we're acting out of anger, and we're not doing stuff that's going to make us feel good. Then that's really what this is about. Is not feel good, mask over the hurt and the loss and the betrayal. But we want to just process it so that we can move on and get back to that state of love, as I say, where we feel peaceful and we feel joy, we feel good inside of ourselves. And we can't do that when we're holding on.
Mm-hmm. And your book, Attitude Reconstruction, has a section on forgiveness. Can you kind of tell us about that and how it fits into the overall book?
Absolutely. Well, the book is a very practical handbook. It's practical yet spiritual. And it starts out by laying out what I call our five tools. That is our emotions, our thoughts, our intuition, our speech, our how we communicate, and how we take action. Those are the five tools that we can have at any moment. So I go through how to do those so that we can get more joy, love, and peace, and less sadness, anger, and fear. And then in the second part of the book, I have 33 bad attitudes. And some of them, 11 of them, have their roots in a lot of sadness, 11 have their roots in anger, and 11 have their roots in fear. And forgiveness is one of those that goes with anger and the opposite, love. So there's a whole two-page worksheet about that you can identify what you're experiencing, the price that you pay, how to change it, because that's what we need to do. It's like sounds so good to go, oh, I forgive, but it's hard work. So the steps are there. And also, then you can see what the benefits will be. So all of that is in a quick chart in one of the 33 basic bad attitudes and how to change it to be a good attitude.
Oh, sounds like you've got it all covered. And, you know, one of our listeners are part of the Relationships 360 family, as I like to refer to our listeners, will have an opportunity to win a copy of Attitude Reconstruction, a blueprint for building a better life, by going out to relationships360.com, entering their name and email address by Saturday, February 28th. And what we're going to do is have the Relationships 360 marketing team to basically randomly select one of those listeners or Relationships 360 family members. And whoever's picked will reach out to on March 1st to notify you that you've won a copy of the book. So thank you, Jude, for offering us a copy of that.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Really appreciate it. It'll definitely, you know, help our listeners towards their road to forgiveness, whether it's, you know, forgiving themselves or, you know, forgiving someone else for a wrong, you know, that they have committed against them. So thank you again for that. Let's move on. You know, a lot of times people, you know, think about forgiveness as, you know, having to forget the harm that a person has caused us. Does forgiving a person mean we actually forget a wrong, you know, that a person has committed towards us?
Absolutely not. It means we integrate and process the betrayal or what happened, the violation or the injustice that we experienced. We process that emotionally. And so that we're not carrying around all of that unexpressed anger and fear and sadness with us. And it means that then after we do that, our work, then we can look inside and figure out, now how am I going to deal with this situation or this person now, given that they did this kind of activity? Because we were a little wiser, but we want to be acting out of a kind place, out of a loving place, not out of a reactive, all right, you hurt me, and so I'm shutting you down. Again, because that closes off our heart. But we want to integrate and learn from these painful experiences.
Okay. Can you kind of give us like a real like example of what that would look like? You talked about, learning from the experience that we may have had, the bad experience that we've had with the person, and then using that to, you know, maybe act more wisely in terms of dealing with that person in the future.
Right. So to work with forgiveness, it really means taking some time. And we can't just do it, you know, oh, I forgive you, and do that. It's an emotional wound. And so for me, the first thing that we need to do is either with somebody safe or even by ourselves, we need to bring up the emotions that we're feeling. And if it's anger, because it's rightful that we do feel angry, that's a natural reaction for a betrayal. But that we have to move that energy out of our body, but not by cursing and, you know, being mean and so on. It's
but that
very
sounds
much
good.
But it's like what does a child do when they're angry? They have
it's
a temper tantrum. Exactly.
Yeah.
And then they pop out of it because they've expressed that natural energy. And
mm-hmm.
when we're talking about a betrayal or something that happened, we're going to have to get the anger out more than once. But we need to talk about what happened and really acknowledge that we feel angry about it and move that out. Now, what I do is, because I have a psychotherapy practice, I'll bring out old phone books and a plastic rubber-like hose that's flexible, and I'll just have the person pound the heck out of it. Pages go flying, and it makes a loud sound. But I'm not going, you son of a gun, and how could you, and, you know, you. It's not that. It's I'm angry. Oh, I'm angry. Because that little child is not going with all of that, you know, the verbal stuff that it's pointing blame. We're just moving that energy because emotions are just energy in motion, emotion. So
mm-hmm.
we're going to need to move out that anger repeatedly, and we have to do it in a safe place. And while we're pounding, we just make sounds. Oh, oh. And we do it hard, fast, and with abandon. So you need to find someplace safe. And maybe you go and you do it on lying on the back, on your back on the bed, and kick and scream and flail. Or maybe you push against the wall or stomp around really, really hard. But we've got to move that energy out. And we've got to do it repeatedly. And then oftentimes what happens is we start to deal with the anger, then maybe the sadness starts to come up. Or maybe you start off by crying as you start to describe what happened and the way you felt about it. But the tears, again, are good. They're healing. They wash away the pain. But we don't want to go and go, oh, poor me, while we're crying. We just want to cry and just go, ouch. Ouch, I hurt so much. But to give voice to that betrayal of wailing or just crying, sobbing, because it's a huge hurt.
Now, you said something about not cursing. Why is cursing, you know, non-productive?
Well, because that
or not
is,
recommended.
Yeah, that
getting rid of
is,
anger. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's still pointing. It's making the other person the cause of our anger. You know, you did that. You son of a gun. You. That's just going to perpetuate our anger. We'll be angry forever as long as we're out there and blaming. And
mm-hmm.
so we need to go. This anger resides in me. I've got to move it out. Because I want to feel better. And so it's sort of like, yeah, they did that, okay, but I'm the one that feels angry. I've got to deal with my anger. So that way the energy can move through us. Because as I said, as long as we're out there on, you know, how could you and how dare you and all of that kind of thing, we're just going to make that rut deeper of that not forgiving.
Yeah, that's hard concept for me to grasp because, of course, you know, we want to, you know, make sure that the other person knows that they're responsible for our reaction.
But that comes later.
For our right to be angry.
Yes, but see, first we take care of our own, our emotional body. We take care
mm-hmm.
of our sadness and our anger and our fear, and then we're at the point where we can decide what kind of communications we need to make and if we want to salvage the relationship and what kind of changes need to happen. But we don't want to do that from an angry standpoint, it's not going to be as productive for sure, because you're just going to ignite the person who's on the other, on the receiving end, and it's going to, and you can't be clear. What the idea is, we handle our emotions so we can get back to neutral, and then we can look inside and really touch our intuition and see, now what do I want? Now I've processed this this injustice. I've really come to terms with it. I've cried my eyeballs out, and you know, it's hard. It's hard if you know, if you have been betrayed by adultery, you know, it doesn't go away quickly. But that, again, you have to keep honoring the emotions that come up, because that's going to get you through the gook so that you can get back into your heart and determine what is an appropriate course of action to take.
Right, and you have to may have to do that many, many times, you know, before you're able to, you know, kind of move past the anger.
Absolutely.
You know, and the sadness. You know, as you said before, the processing, you know, may take a while.
Yes, but that's, see, because we don't want to do something impetuously, like, you know, oh, I'm going to get a divorce. You've got to not act from that reactive place, but from a clear space. So you take care of your own emotions first so that you can look inside your heart and decide, well, now do I want to continue or don't I? But you want to do that from a strong place, because if you go, well, I want a divorce, you've got to then go through with the divorce, because if you don't, your words don't match your actions, and then the other person learns not to listen to you. So we've got to be careful about throwing out big proclamations about what we're going to do, and that's why we have to handle the emotions, process them ourselves first. So then from a clear space, we are very strong and powerful, and we know what's true for ourselves.
And then, you know, I was also thinking about, because I am guilty, I'll raise my hand and say I'm guilty of this, you know, overreacting to a situation.
Absolutely. And it's
forgetting
like
all of the facts, and, you know, you would have thrown a tantrum and gotten upset and cursed the person out, and you know, come to find out later that, you know, you read the situation entirely wrong.
Exactly, exactly. And then the thing is, we can say such damaging things in the heat of our emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have two problems. We have the initial thing that happens, and then we have the fallout from our misguided ways of trying to process it. So it really starts by doing our own work.
Right, and, you know, so the nasty words and, you know, that kind of thing, or even if a person becomes physical, you know, with the other person, I mean, it totally, you know, does, it could do permanent damage to a relationship.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. And that, you know, that we need to forgive when we thought we trusted somebody, we thought we had an agreement. And when it turns out that there was a miscommunication or a misunderstanding, you know, that's huge. We, you know, it's somebody that we love or respected or thought we had an arrangement with. And so it takes us a while to process those emotions in a really constructive way. But it feels so good because we're not giving in to the ugly ways that we can express our anger that just don't do any good. It's like when you do that, it feels good, like when you stab someone, and then after that second, you feel filled with remorse. It's like,
right.
Oh my gosh, and all of the cleanup afterwards. It's not worth it. Again, we just have to be responsible adults and handle our emotions constructively and physically. That really will take care of so many problems.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't think, you know, that their words, you know, are damaging. But, yeah, I mean, some people have a mouth on them and they can, you know, verbally assassinate a person with their mouth.
Exactly.
Sure.
And then what happens to love? It's gone, right? What happens to trust? it goes, because those words can just go so deep, and we really have to use some restraint and go, all right, I'm really upset right now, I'm angry, I need to go and handle this. And just take that pause and go someplace safe and deal with the emotion.
Very good advice. Very good advice.
Well, and I'll give you an example. I had a client recently who's maybe a year and a half before her husband moved out, she started to notice that there was something like off. And so she really, you know, made a case to go to marriage counseling, and they went. And the guy kept saying that, oh, there's nothing wrong, there's nothing wrong. And then one day he moves out. And, of course, she's devastated. She thought that the marriage was forever, and they have these kids, and she wasn't planning on being single, and you know, and it took her a long time. She drives about 45 minutes to work, and she would just be like crying and saying goodbye, because that's really goodbye to the innocence and goodbye to the way that it was. And she would like pound, you know, like, you know, she'd like lay on her bed and flail, and because what happens when we don't take care of that anger is the attention goes out. It's like, what's he doing, and how could he, and stuff like that. And that's so far away from her dealing with her kids and her moving on with her life. And mm-hmm. So in order for her to stop focusing on him, she had to cry, and really get that anger out, because they're just legitimate emotions. And also there's fear. You know, we just can't believe what happened, and it shakes our trust in people in general. And so we need to shake and shiver out that energy of the fear as well. But it's basically the anger and the sadness that really we really need to...
So let me ask you this question. How many times you mentioned adultery as, you know, a possible, you know, relationship wrong that could be committed? How many, if it happens over and over, I mean, how many times are we supposed to forgive a person for repeatedly doing the same thing, committing the same infraction over and over again?
Well, and it's not just adultery, but it's, you know, not keeping their word about other things as well. And it's such an individual thing. It's like, again, that's why it's so important to take care of our own emotions, because the answer is within ourselves. Like, we know when we're clear, we know if we've had enough,
mm-hmm.
or if we haven't, or if we still feel like there's still some reason to try to mend the relationship. But you want to get it so that you can, you know, you, that quiet voice that says, okay, it's over. We have to listen to that and not push it to the back. And if we really get on that quiet place that it's over, then we need to obey.
Let's talk about emotional and physical abuse real quick. Does forgiving abuse mean a victimized spouse stay in an emotionally or physically abusive marriage or relationship?
Well, again, you have to look within. But also, you can see if the person is willing to do some counseling together, because, you know, our issues, and we're so close in. And, you know, it's so volatile that we really need a third person and somebody who's trained to facilitate. And so, you know, if a person really shows that they're willing to learn and listen and hear about how much their actions caused us pain, then we go, all right, I'll try it again. But, again, it's like a Linus in the football. You know, it's like, how many times am I going to go up to the football and have Lucy, you know, pull the football out at the last minute? At some point, we've got to go, you know what, I'm done with football. I'm done. I know that in my heart. Because we have to get that it's really time, that it's really over, so that then we have the courage to follow through, because it's so hard, you know, because oftentimes there's love there as well as the abuse. And so we go, yes, but this is not okay. It's not okay that I get hit. It's not okay that I get, you know, shredded verbally and, you know, be made wrong over and over and over and over. But it's again, it's individual. It's like when we can get inside that, no, that's enough. And again, that it's so helpful to go to a counselor so that somebody can help guide you through the intricacies of it, so that you can come to your own decision, because you don't want to be putting yourself and children in harm's way, and yet you want to be compassionate.
Absolutely. You talked about, you know, a person going, maybe a therapist of some sort, you know, can kind of, you know, help them or guide them, you know, through that decision-making process, you know, when it comes to maybe abuse or, you know, just having to end the relationship because, you know, it's just gotten so bad, you know, that the person may have to do that. But a therapist could help. Can you kind of, you know, walk us through, like, some of the things that a therapist, you know, would do to help a person, you know, if they are at the point of, you know, deciding if they should leave a relationship because maybe some sort of verbal abuse or has occurred or physical abuse or...
I think that
part of other, that, you know, repeated, you know, relationship wrong has taken place.
Yeah, I think that a good therapist will really listen very carefully and make room for the person to have those emotions, and then help them figure out what's true for themselves. Like maybe you can write down the options or discuss the options. But so that the therapist is sort of a guide that points out the pluses and minuses of the different options so that they become real. And so that, you, all right, if this will mean this and this and this and this, and yes, somebody will have to move out of the apartment and you will have to separate out your money and maybe the problem with the children. But there'll be some support, someone who can help you make the decision that's right for you, not somebody that's going to give you advice, unless you know that you're in danger for sure. If you're in danger, then you have to get out. You have to go to a shelter.
I was going to say, you know, how is his working with the therapist, you know, different from getting advice from a girlfriend or a coworker?
Well, that the therapist has been trained to understand these problems, where the girlfriend or the family member has their own bias that they bring in, where you're really wanting someone who is familiar with what happened and understands and can support you as you take care of doing your own work, so you can figure out, Do I need to give him another chance? What specifically, because for me it's really, if we're going to give more chances, we've got to be very clear in laying out the behavior that's not okay and the consequences that will happen, having doable consequences that you follow through with if you decide, all right, I'm going to give him another chance. And yes, but if it happens again, and then what's true for you? You know, I can't take it anymore. If it does happen again, I am going to leave, or not, or maybe you feel like that after you've done your work that it's just too big of a violation, and it's just too big of a betrayal. Then that's just equally legitimate to say, I just can't. I need to terminate this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But the only person that can determine that is you.
Absolutely. So, you know, Relationships 360 family, I mean, in some cases, you know, might want to seek out a licensed trained therapist, you know, to help you to make, you know, big decisions, especially, you know, when it comes to marriage. It's definitely a huge decision about whether it should end or not, you know, based on, you know, if your partner, you know, continues to commit the same relationship infraction over and over, you might want to make the decision to end it. So definitely a therapist can kind of help you.
You have somebody who's rooting for you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, somebody that's on your team and it doesn't feel like you're so alone, because it can be hard to extricate yourself from a relationship. And it's painful. It's emotional. But that, I keep going back to, it's emotional. We can't just cut off our emotions and go ahead. I know that for myself, one of the biggest betrayals that I experienced was that I had a business with a friend. And I thought that everything was fine. I was young and naive and so on. And, boy, when we came to dividing up the business, she came in with her lawyers and, you know, playing hardball. And I was just devastated, because I thought it was just all nice and whatever, you know, oh, well, we can just handle this amicably. But, you know, it was so much about business and money and stuff. It just broke my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I did is I didn't follow my advice at first. And I, you know, went around thinking bad things about her and avoiding her and, you know, just like taking my toys and going home. But I really got to have to get off of focusing on her and back into, all right, let me take care of my emotions. And
mm-hmm.
so that I can not be lurking around when I go around town and wonder if I'm going to see her. I can feel good about the ending of the business and know that I handled it in a way that was good.
Yeah, and so yeah, how did you handle that? Well, first of all, how did you take care of yourself emotionally to where you were able to get to the point to, you know, end it amicably?
Well, it was already ending when we sort of hit that glitch. I had already decided that I wanted to pull out of the relationship, the business. And so we just finished up the logistics of it, but I just felt like I had been stabbed. That, you know, that the value, that the friendship wasn't valued at all, was just into a money thing. And I, you know, like so many of us, I started off by just sort of compartmentalizing, oh, no big deal, oh, well, okay. But then I still wasn't happy, you know, which is the thing. I didn't get back to feeling good. I would be thinking about it and not pleasant thoughts. So I had to do some what I call powering on, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you. And as I would just say those words and but not feel it, it would bring up emotions. And it's like, oh, no, I can't. And it's like, yes, I forgive you, I forgive you. Oh, no, you don't. And then, you know, I'd get some more anger out, and I'd, you know, I've got to forgive. All right, she, you know, because then it comes to, she did the best she could, and I did the best I could. You know,
okay.
Because when people are, you know, doing verbal abuse or, you know, acting in a way that's different than we thought the agreement was, you know, it just hurts so much, and so we have to forgive and go, they did the best they could. If she could have done it better, if she would have been thinking, if she didn't get advice from her family, then she might have done things differently. But she didn't.
Yeah, she would have known better. She would have done better.
Exactly.
Yeah, you gotta forgive.
You gotta forgive.
You know, yeah, forgiving, you know, doesn't mean we think that the person is right or condone, you know, their bad behavior.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It doesn't mean forgetting about it letting them get away with it, because we can stand up and, again, after we dealt with the emotions and really, I forgive you. We did the best we could. We both did the best we could. Like, what's my part in things getting to that place? Like with the gal who...
Are we letting them get away with it, or letting them get away with something if they do forgive?
No, because...
forgive the person?
After we forgive, then we look within and say, all right, what do I need to say? What do I need to do? You know, maybe I need to ask them if they'll just listen to me for a half an hour or an hour, and I need to talk and get off my chest now that I've handled my emotions, how I felt, and I need to convey that. Maybe I need to do that. Maybe I don't. But, we're doing forgiveness for ourselves. But oftentimes people would like it if the person who did the transgression could listen to us and get, so that we can feel understood. But it doesn't always happen.
Well, I do want to take a break. And after the break, I want to talk about, what true forgiveness, is. Because, we just talked about, maybe forgiving a person. We think that may be like condoning their bad behavior. I want to explore that more after the break and talk about what true forgiveness is after the break. So, let's stop here. And when we come back, Relationships 360 Family, Jude's going to explain, again, the meaning of true forgiveness, plus the benefits of forgiveness. And feel free to join the conversation by dialing 714-409-0610, or you can type your comments or questions in the chat room for me to share on the air. Be right back.
All I want to do is keep it light, keep it light. That song you and your girlfriend sing to get you back tonight. I gotta get it, go, get it, go, get it, go, get it back. I gotta get it, go, get it, go, get it, go, get it back. I gotta treat it right, oh, I gotta cherish your delight. I gotta get it, go, get it, go, get it, go, get it tonight. I never should have raised my voice or made you feel so small. I never should have asked you to do anything at all. I should have kissed you longer. I should have held you stronger. And I'll wait for forever for you to love me again. All I want to do is keep it light, keep it light. All I want to do is make it right, make it right. That thing, play you that song you and your girlfriend sing, get you back tonight. I gotta get it, go, get it, go, get it, go, get it back. I gotta get it, go, get it, go, get it, go, get it back. I gotta treat it right, oh, I gotta cherish your delight. I gotta get it, go, get it, go, get it, go, get it tonight. Oh, it's so hard, it's so hard. Oh, it's so hard.
Oh, it's so hard.
But it doesn't have to be. Cause all I wanna do is keep it light all night.
All I wanna do
is make it right, make it right.
All I wanna do
is give you that thing, play you that song you and your girlfriend sing. Get you back tonight. I gotta get it, go, get it, go, get it, go, get it back. I gotta get it, go, get it, go, get it, go, get it back. I gotta treat it right, whoa. I gotta cherish it for life. I gotta get it, go, get it, go, get it, go, get it tonight.
All right, all right. Well, the technical difficulties continue here on Relationships 360. I want to thank you guys for joining us for the second half of the show. I'm Tiffany Williams-Jallo, your host for tonight's program, and joining me is family therapist and author Jude Bijou. We're taking your questions about forgiveness. And some of the questions that come to my mind regarding forgiveness are, you know, why is it so hard for people to forgive? And who are you having a hard time forgiving, yourself, someone else? If you need help taking that next step towards forgiveness, give us a call at 714-409-0610. And while we're waiting on callers to join the show, be sure to visit relationships360.com and enter your name and email by Saturday, February 28th, for a chance to win a copy of Jude's book, Attitude Reconstruction, A Blueprint for Building a Better Life. The Relationships 360 marketing team will randomly select and contact the winner on March 1st. So, yeah, looking forward to seeing the entries for that and giving away a copy of that book to help get you guys started on your journey to forgiveness. And also rebuilding your life and making it better. Again, if you'd like to weigh in on tonight's discussion, which is about the power of forgiveness, give us a call at 714-409-0610. Or you can connect with us in the chat room, which is open right now, and I'll read your comments there on the air. Jude, thank you again for, you know, joining our show tonight. Picking up where we left off before the break, I was going to ask you about what true forgiveness is. Does it mean forgetting that a wrong that has been committed against us ever happened?
No, we never quite forget, but we take off the emotional charge so that we can be loving, so that we can feel peaceful. But we're going to make some adjustments. Because, it, you know, even though we can take care of it emotionally, you know, something is lost. That's why we really have to say goodbye to the way that it was before. Because we don't want to negate that what happened. Those are legitimate feelings that we had and things that happened to us. But we do want to lighten our load and so that we feel good, so we feel empowered, so we feel confident again. So we can be trusting.
Okay, so there are, you know, some consequences to, you know, not lightening that load, as you referred to it as. And, you know, I heard a couple of days ago on Today's show, they were talking about a study that linked, you know, anger and anxiety to heart attack. Are those, you know, kind of, you know, some of the consequences of not letting go of the anger and the sadness that you talked about earlier?
Yep, and the fear. Anxiety is the feeling, but fear is the emotion in our body. you know, because we start to doubt ourselves and we start to feel agitated. And when we don't process those emotions, they do get stored in our body, and that's what accumulates. And it can, anger definitely can be related to heart attack. You know, it's that hot red energy, that heart. Anxiety can take us more into paralysis, and, you know, we sort of burn ourselves out. But the, definitely there's clear physical consequences of not handling our emotions about a betrayal and about other things that happen. You know, other things that, you know, our house burns down, and we need to be afraid and shake and shiver and acknowledge the fear of the that our survival feels threatened. We can't just sort of brush it off and get going on our list of what we have to do and then call the insurance company and so on. We've got to deal with the emotion, or else it's going to get lodged in our brain and make our thinking, you know, more anxious, and lodged in our body. And so that we're, as I said, we're more agitated and we're going at a fast, furious pace, or we get frozen. And those aren't the ways to enjoy life. So the whole thing is we want to come out and live a life that's based on the emotions of joy, love, and peace, which are opposite sadness, anger, and fear. And so it means it's just, if I start handling those, that sadness, anger, and fear in a constructive and physical way, I will feel better than I felt for a long time, because I'm just doing what's natural and doing it in a safe place.
And you talked about, so we talked about the consequences, you know, of not letting go of your anger or anxiety once someone has, you know, wronged you in some way, and, you know, you chose not to forgive. Let's talk about, you know, some of the spiritual and physical and other benefits to forgiving. Again, we talked about the consequences, but what are the benefits? You mentioned some, love, joy, and peace.
Yes, we can feel those emotions. And we also come back to ourself, and we've honored ourselves so that we can be in touch with our intuition again and act from our heart. When we have these things that happen to us, our heart shuts down, and then we're not fully loving. And we want to get back. That's our natural state. And so we find that our heart can get healed if we do our work to process the hurts that come up, the injustices and the violation and the threats to our survival. As I said, we'll feel lighter, we'll be clearer, because we're not trying to navigate in a maze through a maze of emotions. And we learn stuff. We can make, you know, we make lemonade out of lemons. And so something that feels so terrible now can come in really handy in our wisdom as we go on.
Yeah, does it get easier to forgive with practice, you know, when we actually, you know, process, you know, our emotions, if we continue to do this, does it get any easier over
Absolutely.
Time?
Absolutely, it gets easier, but it's still painful. It's just our basic trust gets shattered. And we can go, oh, I need to deal with my emotions. Yes, and we can shorten the amount of time that we're going to feel that pain or that resentment. But so it does get easier when we start to use the tools. Oh, I need to get my anger out. I'm, you know, doing road rage. All right, that means I'm angry. Oh, I'm not sleeping at night. Oh, that means that there's a lot of fear and there's a lot of emotions going on.
Mm-hmm. So you've got to do something to get that out. We're going to talk about, you know, some specific things or steps, you know, that we can take, you know, on our road to forgiveness. But Yeah, I was wanting to know if there are some things that, you know, just aren't forgivable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And everybody has their own boundary about where that is. But when you know that something is not forgivable, it's like something breaks and that you know that it's not going to be repaired, then you have to follow your heart and what you know and change directions. Absolutely.
Yeah, can you kind of give us an example of, you know, what that thing might be? Let's just say for you, for example, what would be, you know, something that would be unforgivable in your mind?
Let's see. Well, I think that if, like this gal that I was doing business with, if I got into another financial kind of deal with her and the same thing happened, I might go that, you know, I'm going to scratch her off my list. I'm going to get that it doesn't make sense for me to hang around with this person. Life is too short. And then that's fine, you know. Or again, say if we get physically abused, and it could just be, no, this is too dangerous. And we can feel that inside. Again, we get so caught into, oh, I love them. What will my friends say? What will the family say? Oh, I don't have enough money. And we can ignore what we truly know inside. And that, again, when we, after we deal with the emotions, we can get in touch. We can get a true sense of what we need to do. And then we need that support to carry out what we know has to be done, what we know we have to do. And again, you know, you raised a good point that a lot of times we can get down on ourselves and take the blame. And now part of that's okay because, you know, in relationships where it's a dance, you know, there's two people there. And so it's like, okay, if one person is unfaithful, you have to go, all right, there was something not working in the relationship. And I think that usually it goes to that the communication is broken down.
Maybe it was getting into the relationship in the first place.
It could very well be that we got into it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But, you know, sometimes a person's cheating tendencies can fly under the radar.
Yes.
We just choose to ignore it at the beginning. I'm not sure.
Well,
but.
Yes, we ignore it at the beginning. But when, again, I go to, you know, honoring ourselves, when we feel there's something wrong, there usually is. Not when we're suspicious, but when we feel in our body that there's just something off, then that's when it needs to be talked about, you know, and need to have some inquiry about that and some communication. Because for me, that the key to a successful marriage is good communication, and that's the failure to communicate is what leads one partner to off of the road that they were on together. And so it's just so important. And again, the book really lays out like there's only four simple rules for good communication. And the book lays them out and gives so many examples of that. But again, it's something we didn't learn in elementary school, and we didn't see our parents communicating very well for the most part. And we didn't learn it in high school or in college or whatever. And we just need to learn the four rules. And so, because when we're in love, we can communicate really well. But when differences start to arise, then our communication skills get show up for what they are, which are pretty poor. And we need to learn. I'll just go over the four rules real briefly. The first rule is to talk about ourselves, not the you blame and reading the other person the riot act, but talking about what we felt and what we want. It's not we always do what you want to do. It's, I want to put my opinion out here. It's so, because we can hear when we're talking about ourselves, but when we're you and other people, that person can't hear. So the first rule is we have to crank our focus 180 degrees back to ourselves. What's true for me about one specific thing at a time? One thing at a time. That's being specific is the second rule. So if it was like, hey, I want to talk about what happened at the party last night. It's not like you never pay attention to me when we go out. No, it's not those always and never and future and past. It's we're just talking about one thing, and this is what I felt about that one thing.
Okay.
So it's a practice because we're so used to blasting other people because we're upset, where it's like, what's true for me about that specific thing? And deliver it with kindness, which means I'm going to look for what is going to make the conversation about that one specific thing go in a forward direction, not what's not going to work and the negativity, but what is going to move the conversation forward, maybe some solutions we can have. So those are really there's three rules for speaking: eyes, specifics, and kindness. And the fourth rule is to listen. And we just, you know, I teach a class in communication, and I say, now, how many people feel listened to enough? And maybe one person out of 30 raises their hand. Everybody feels like they're listening, but nobody feels like they're listened to enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to, I say, put on that duct tape and just listen to try to understand the other person as they talk about one specific thing at a time. Because when we start lumping and jumping and bringing in the kitchen sink and all past transgressions, the conversation just gets so derailed. And then that's what causes that separation. And then that's where it can get that frustration and then resentment. And then we do things that are not loving. So for me, it all goes back to communication. We've got to get tighter on how to communicate, especially about difficult topics.
And in order to do that, I mean, don't you have to have forgiveness and to be able to just have the willingness to, listen to the person or to be kind, to the person?
Absolutely. And it means that we need to, I say, use a timer, but talk and listen. And so when we're listening, we don't interrupt. We just listen and seek to understand the other person's position, and then we change roles, and now the person who is listening gets to talk and be understood, because understanding is the bridge that is going to bring us back to our connection. And I want to, so those are the rules about communication, but I want to say something about how we have to forgive ourselves. We do things we haven't done before, and of course we're going to make mistakes. And again, we don't want to be adding more layers to our already upset for what happened. And so we have to remember, I did the best I could. I did the best I could. All right, I lost my cool, but I did the best I could. And not beat ourselves up. That's not going to make us move through the resentment and the betrayals, and not going to allow us to forgive. We have to forgive ourselves as well as forgive the other person so that we can be clear and make a path forward.
Yeah, and I'll be my last question, as we only have a couple of minutes left in the show. What steps can we take starting today to begin the road toward forgiveness?
Well, I'd say find yourself a therapist or a good friend, somebody so that you can start to talk about it, but somebody where it'll be confidential. So you want somebody to just listen and allow a space for you to have the emotions about whatever the transgression is, because it begins with really healing our own emotional body. And then we can feel free to listen within and figure out what do we need to say and what do we really need to do from a clear space, from emotionally a clear space. So it's hard. We're not used to honoring our emotions. But once we do, the benefits are just amazing. You pound out the anger, and you can feel your heart open. You shake and shiver out that fear like a dog at the vet, and you can feel peace just flood your body.
And how do you, do that without the assistance of a therapist? Not everyone, maybe has the time available to go to a therapist, or they don't have the financial resources. So what are some things that a person can kind of do at home
And this is where the book is really practical, because it just means you can take a half an hour and be your own counselor. All right, what am I really upset about? And write out what I'm upset about. All right, what do I need to work on forgiveness? What emotions are going to come up? Do I need to say goodbye? And just, again, turn off the TV and or the games and just sit with yourself and go, all right, well, let me face rather than ignore what's eating me up. Let me face it and deal with the emotions, and so that I can get clear. We can do it on our own, absolutely.
I love that. I love that. And you can do that for, all of your relationships and all the different things that, you may be angry about and you need to forgive, especially, I'm thinking about this, as a Christian, with this being Lent season, the season of penitence, thinking about that tonight. So definitely something I'll be doing for the remainder of the Lent season and honoring that. And listeners, you can get a copy of Attitude Reconstruction. That's the book that Jude and I have been talking about tonight. One of you can actually win a copy. To be eligible for that, you need to enter your name and email at relationships360.com by this Saturday, February 28th. It'll give you the courage you need to forgive yourself and others. And we're going to pick the winner in March and contact the winner in March. The Relationships 360 marketing team will do that. And then if you want to purchase a copy of the book, it's got lots of great, exercises that you can do on your own. You can go out to attitudereconstruction.com and pick it up, Jude, or where else is it available?
Also available on Amazon as an e-book or as a paperback book or from the website, absolutely.
Okay, fantastic. Well, thank you so much for spending time tonight with us, Jude, and the Relationships 360 family. We really appreciate it, and, have a great evening and a great weekend.
Well, I thank you. I hope that this has been helpful and that somebody gets a little bit of insight. And so that they can get themselves a little bit unstuck.
Sounds great. And, guys, we're back in March with more award-winning programming when I'll talk about marriage restoration with a surprise celebrity guest. So definitely forgiveness is in order for that to happen, marriage restoration. Until then, be blessed and be a blessing. Good night.